Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
You sound like shit, brother.
Yeah, I know. I lost my voice last night.
Yeah. At a Chiefs victory over the shitbag Saints.
We also have with us here in the studio, we got George Diaz, longtime listener, first-time visitor.
First off, he is
He's one of the OG visitors.
A living legend.
Yeah.
People will say, like, they'll post, well, who's Diaz? Who's, where, like, even guys that are in trade winds, where's George? Yeah. How come he's not on the call? Like, they all want to know who George Diaz is.
And where he's at all times.
He's here with us today.
He's an enigma.
He is an enigma. He is. Unfortunately, he's a Saints fan, and he came to the Chiefs game with us last night.
Yeah, treated him to a little Monday Night Football game at Arrowhead.
Sorry, buddy.
The full Arrowhead treatment. We did some tailgating, did some barbecue eating.
Ish.
I mean, I'm not going to say it was barbecuing.
No.
Because they were crock pot ribs. But
the tailgate was...
It was surprisingly low key. Like, I don't know if it's Monday night that caused that.
Well, we live in the Midwest where people have fucking jobs and shit.
Yeah, they're it wasn't packed as it usually. Now the stadium was packed, but tailgating is usually rocking hard for like 4 hours before the game, and this was.
It did not live up to the hype.
It did not live up to the hype. Yeah,
George and I did go for a walk, and I mean, like, people were out; they just weren't in our area.
Well, and you know, and. This is not a poor attempt at humble bragging, but we do tailgate in the executive lot, and
it was not our kind of let's just be honest. We're blue collar as shit.
Yeah.
And it was like uppity people from Johnson County that drank too much and ran over coolers. Act like we're D-bags.
One of the cool things with that lot, because it is, they never oversell it. It's always undersold, and you can't get tickets to it. Like, it's an executive privilege thing. But because it's undersold, you will always have a space. And so there's tons of people that show up like 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
Park, walk straight into their their seat in the stadium.
Yeah.
And go in. So it's not like the gold lots and the red lots where it's first come, first serve, and it's a wild party. You get out like in lot J.
You start feeling more comfortable when you
party.
When you walk out there, you feel more comfortable. Like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, these are my people.
Like, yeah, these are, we should be out here.
Yeah.
We literally, we walked by a tailgate yesterday. It's a big black dude, bald. I think he was bald, smoking a cigar, right? I mean, looking pimp as shit. So his truck's in one space, right? And then the space behind him, they're sitting there, right?
Yep.
It's him and a lady. And then he's got a table on each side. The guy's got a full bar on one of the tables. It's only two of them. And then they got a food spread on the other side. He's just sitting there pimping.
Yep.
Like, he's just like, we're just hanging.
Yeah.
You know, just living the high life, man.
So you see where we tailgate.
It was pretty cool.
On most games, there is tons and tons of foot traffic in front of our tailgate. It's where people tend to congregate before they go into the stadium. And so the guy that is usually there that has this, he wasn't there that time. We have a whole cooler of free beer that guys have like started their journey from a half a mile across the parking lot, and they load their pockets up with beer, and then they get to the stadium.
Yeah.
And they've got more beer than they like more beer left over than they can carry into the stadium, and they don't want to just pitch it. And so they all set their beers on our tailgate table. So we have a whole cooler of like beers that we've just acquired. And then anytime anybody like, hey, you guys got any extra beer? It's like, you pop open that cooler and
I was telling George
them.
That's what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
You had to throw away half a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I was surprised you got the one down waiting in line to go in the stadium.
That was an accident.
Was it?
I meant to grab one of those.
I smell an excuse.
No. I meant to grab one of those citrus infused Mick Ultras.
Oh, and you had one of
and
each.
And I accidentally grabbed George's Mick Ultra.
Yeah.
And I cracked it, opened it, and started drinking it. And I'm like, crap.
He set it down. He looks at me, goes, that's George's beer. I was like, what does
it? So then I grabbed a citrus infused one too. And I'm like, I'll just try to drink them both before we, and we park like right at the gate. I almost had it all.
You almost had it all. Yeah. Like it was literally 200 feet. I was like, he's not getting through that.
Yeah. If they had one more trash can, I would have had it.
He didn't need another beer anyway.
No, he was canned.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, do you want to talk? You want to talk about your math skills after you've had a couple fucking beers?
My math skills.
When we were
playing cornhole.
Oh, yeah, that's not math. That's not canned. That's just dyslexic.
No, and that's fucking drunk and can't count to 21.
That's ADD.
He looks at the board and goes, oh, we need one. Throws it on the board. I walk over there. I'm like, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah. You're back at
your wife looked at me and goes, unbelievable.
No, we have a rule.
She was on my side of the board.
We have a rule when my boys and I play and when we play cornhole in the shop that you are not allowed to give up the game. And so, like, if somebody, like, let's say I'm a 20 and I put one in the hole, if you throw all your bags off the board, I would bust, right?
Yeah.
So we have a rule that says you can't just give up the game and throw all your bags
those
off.
Those aren't the, like, the fucking
you
cornhole
have to keep
rules.
Trying to play.
No.
So no. That's where that came from.
As a caveat, because at the beginning I was like, so what happens if you bust? Nope, going to 11. That's how we play.
Yeah. That is the rule. Like, if you bust, you go to 11, but I just was not planning on somebody just throwing all their bags in the dirt.
I mean,
because
I just
threw
want,
one in the hole.
All I care about is that everyone knows that George and I are two-time champs.
Yes. Okay.
Over you and Danielle. And
we played
was better
two games.
Than you.
Bullshit. She didn't listen to George this, so I can throw George her just, straight under
George
the bus.
George just looked right at me like,
every point we got, I got.
Including the one that went over and took you to 11.
Yes. All of them. Even the overages.
It was fun, though.
It was not safe to stand behind the board when Danielle was throwing, because they were all going to go off the back of the board and hit you in the legs.
Yeah, she was pretty canned.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was...
I don't think that's canned. I think that's just Danielle's athletic ability.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Burn.
Yeah, she's not an athlete.
It was fun, though.
She's a mathlete.
The game was fun. We didn't have any D-bags in our area.
No, and I didn't
in the
get
stadium.
I didn't get cops threatening to arrest me this time.
No, no one yelled at George because he's a Saints fan. There were Saints fans
that.
Around
like,
us.
That's kind of the
that
cool thing
fun.
With KC is they're really hospitable. Like, they're going to give you shit, especially those. There was that group of Saints fans behind us.
Yeah, those young cats.
And what was it like? I don't know. The first score, like the Chiefs led the whole game.
Right.
But the first score that you guys did, I think it was like a field goal or something.
It was 10-7 at one point.
It was 10-7. I can't remember what it was, but like you guys had just scored
It was our first touchdown, but it was 10-7.
Yeah, it was 10-7. You guys scored a touchdown, and all these guys behind us are like, hooday, hooday, like trying to...
Hoodat.
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 Right, and Bengals is hoodat. Yeah. So they're all like, hoodat, hoodat, and everything else, and everyone's like, hoodat, look at the fucking score. That's who that is.
Yeah. Like, even George is like, losing. I can hear George, he's like, man, these cats got to shut up.
Yeah. Well, they ended up leaving halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, and their one, they left their one friend behind, and he's like, I'm staying here, I'm not leaving, and he goes, but if the Chiefs score again, I am going to leave.
Yeah. they were talking a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
It's still, like you photobombed those people that are in front of it. Those are season ticket holders. They've been there every,
dude, that
like,
was
every
perfect
game I've ever
too.
Been.
I saw it today. It's perfect. It's like,
but like they texted you the photo. Like,
yeah, it's like, dude.
You know, like that's how cool they are. Nobody's going to get pissed or butthurt or start
no
fights with like all that shit you see about fans fighting other fans and shit. That it's never at Arrowhead. Now I say that and there'll be a fight somewhere.
There's five or 10 fights, but it's usually not like insanely.
What's crazy is it's
large.
Usually Chiefs fans against Chiefs fans. It's usually just
as long as it's not Philly fans.
Yeah.
Philly fans are rowdy.
Yeah. They're the worst.
Been in the dome with them. And, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they got to grease the poles after every game, too, because they're afraid that they're going to lose all their streetlights in the city.
Yeah, I'm taking this sign with me, motherfucker. Why?
What are you doing,
bro?
We lost, so I'm taking a no parking
sign. I'm
going to
burn this fucking cop car. Why?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. So
Royals won yesterday, too.
Royals won.
You know, George is a Dodgers fan, right?
Yeah.
Did you know
Dodgers
that?
Are still in.
Yep.
Oshanti is kicking ass.
Ohtani.
Ohtani. I said Ohtani yesterday, too.
Do you know yesterday
what's
when I was telling
name?
Mitch like he doesn't know anything
singer,
about
right?
sports?
No, what's his first name?
Shohei.
That's where I'm getting Ohtani.
Or Shohei.
That's where I'm throwing the SH in
Shohei
there.
Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He's for...
What are we, 53-53 now?
No one cares, but
it's
he's probably...
Now. He had 54 home runs.
Yeah, he's probably the greatest baseball player to ever play the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
Without a doubt. And what's crazy is his swing looks goofy. If you watched his swing on film, you would be like, there's no way.
It's like it comes from the Japanese league, the way that they swing.
But then he's huge. He's like,
oh yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, he's huge. He's a Neanderthal with a brain and a bat.
Imagine him over in Japan.
No, he'd kill those guys. I mean, those guys are two foot tall.
Twice as tall as everybody over
there. If he hit the pitcher with the ball, it'd blow a hole in him. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
He's a beast.
But he played
there
like 5 years.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I was telling George, I said, are you going to make another trip if it's Dodgers Royals World Series? Because they're NL.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd have to
figure out something. Financially responsible, but man, I'm here.
No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not financially responsible.
Let's just be honest. If the Dodgers are in the series, you're tripping wherever they go. Probably. You're a big enough fan.
No.
I can't.
Well, they've won. When did they win last? Was it 2 years ago they won?
2020.
Yeah.
Which was
2020
COVID year.
Was their last year.
Yeah. The COVID year, they didn't have fans.
Yeah. They didn't.
Fans.
So.
But, so, yeah, you might be traveling regardless.
You know, I wanted...
Hopefully it's somewhere close. Is that what you're praying?
Like, but that's the thing is like...
Oh, he's hoping it's Houston.
Yeah.
Baseball ain't just one game. It's multiple games.
Yeah, but you got to go to one,
which
though.
Which one am I going to go to?
Yeah, you got to go to one.
Which one are you going to?
You go to game four.
I told him if he wanted to stay, I'd take him on Wednesday or Thursday, the Royals game, because Royals Yankees are going to be here.
I was looking at tickets for those.
Oh, yeah, it'd be $250 apiece.
So before they won last night...
Yeah,
yesterday morning, the cheapest single seat I could find was $187 plus, I mean, you know how Ticketmaster is.
Yeah.
It's like, this seat's $187, and then you check out, it's like $345.
Yeah.
And it's like, good God, and they're convenient, you know,
how convenient is
this fees?
Ticketmaster, yeah, you're right, yeah.
But I'm willing to bet after they won last night, I'm willing to bet the ticket prices went up even higher, and for a single seat. Like, that wasn't for four. I'm willing to bet for four, they're like $250 or $300 apiece.
They'll be insane.
Yeah.
Dude, in 14, when I bought tickets, they were $250 apiece.
The $187 was standing room only seats. You don't even get a seat for $187.
No, that was the wild card game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was in 14.
Yeah.
And that was, those were the cheapest of the cheap. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because when they went to the ALDS, in 14 and 15, those seats were cheaper than the wild card seats were, because the Royals hadn't been since like 85, 86.
Well, now
they made it in 87. I can't remember.
But
yeah, so I mean, and now inflation and all that stuff and everything else. But if George wants to stay, I told him I'd take him. TradeWinds is paying for those tickets, because there ain't no fucking way I'll pay it for them.
Yeah, see how that goes.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to go? I'll get three.
We can't.
Babe, I'm busy. Change my schedule. Yeah,
move my flight back, right?
Call Mrs. Diaz and be like, hey, baby, look, can I stay? I know you can sweet talk her.
Say my last name.
Diaz.
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 Diaz. Sounds the same to me.
Diaz.
I'm just laughing at the fact he says, say my name.
Diaz.
And I did.
Yeah. All right.
On the show, I say it like I'll say it all kinds of ways. Diaz.
So I saw an interesting Craigslist ad today.
Okay.
And if it's on Craigslist, it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I miss the old days when Craigslist was like serious.
Yeah.
Like, you could go on there and get, but after like 3 years, that shit was fucking over. When Marketplace came out, Craigslist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Marketplace started out great. Now Marketplace is equally as much of a disaster.
Bad. Also a fucking shit show, yes.
So, Chillicothe, Missouri. It's about an hour and a half north
George
of here. Hour and 15 minutes
north
of here.
Selling his shoes on there.
In search of plumber. And it says...
In search of plumber as in someone to help them with their plumbing, or like a job ad?
We're going to find out.
Okay. I meant, like, what's the heading?
The heading says, in search of plumber.
Okay, that's all it says.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the description says, older male looking for a plumber who is good at unclogging a super tight hole. Prefer older plumbers, but it's not a deal breaker. Race is also not an issue either. I'm available all day Tuesday. I cannot host, so hopefully you can. It's been 3 years too long. Are you replying to that ad?
That's a big negative.
I mean, if I'm not married in 65,
like, no.
You know, hey, you know.
No.
Is it implied as a guy or a girl?
Let me see the thing. Let me just flip it around so I can see it. Let me just flip it around. It's like, is there a picture?
No. Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Oh, that's a shame.
Craigslist hardly ever has pictures. It's just maps. It's like a map to show Chillicothe.
Come here to get your D-wet. Like, that's just what it should say.
So I posted it on my Facebook 10 minutes ago, and it's like...
Does he mean like copy the ad and like I'm in search of a plumber?
No. I just said, thank goodness we don't service Chillicothe.
Danielle, call this people.
And, Dan Bianchi says, for a second there, I thought it said Chicago instead of Chillicothe. Somebody else said, maybe you should start.
Oh, my God. Of course, Dan was like, oh, I thought it said Chicago. Because he probably sees that shit all the time.
Right. Well, it is Chicago.
That's what I'm saying. It's Chicago.
Right. So
I try to say Chicago like he does. I can't do it. It's just not the same.
Yeah. Chicago.
Chicago.
I try to make a pizza like they do, but I can't make pizzas upside down. Happening.
First off, deep dish pizza like that,
I'll eat a slice.
I'm with George. I don't like it.
I don't know if I'd want it every time I have pizza, but it is definitely badass to get when you go there. Grab a slice of deep dish. That's good stuff.
Man, I like what they call Kansas City style. I like New York style pizza.
What is Kansas City style? Like,
it's like a thin
DiGiorno?
It's like a thin crackery crust. Oh. It's a pizza shop. DiGiorno's. What the fuck's the matter? He is frozen. I didn't catch it the first time. Like, I didn't think about it. Like, what the fuck is he talking about? No, it's like pizza shop.
Yeah.
I like that. I like New York style pizza. Like, where you can fold it like a taco and eat it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Original pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious.
That's good stuff.
Like, where the grease
like
is just
Pizza Hut
falling
deep,
off.
Deep dish, but that's not a Chicago deep dish.
No, that ain't. That's, no. Yeah, no. No, that's just a pan.
That's just like a crust.
Really
that's
buttery
just,
crust.
Yeah.
It is good and will slow your heart rate down.
A little bit.
Good.
Almost too far. Like to zero.
Over time, yes. Not instantly. Yeah. Like, you're not going to die instantly. But yeah, it'll slow your ass down. Oh, my God.
All right. So George is from New Orleans. I'm just going to go with how I say
New
it.
Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
You lying ass motherfucker.
And so you guys already went through a hurricane once. This year.
Yeah.
And you got another one knocking on your door. We're recording this on Tuesday, and this will air.
What's today?
Friday.
Is it the 8th or the 7th?
Today is the 8th.
8th. Okay.
Yeah.
This will air Friday, the 11th?
It's supposed to make landfall.
And it should.
Wednesday.
It should wipe out, like, Florida should be off of the U.S. map once it goes through. Like, we no longer have Florida anymore by what, Thursday?
I don't know, man.
So for our Florida listeners, you may never, ever get to hear this show. Anybody else? Florida, Georgia line people, Louisiana.
Well, it looks like it's going
to
hit Tampa
Bay.
It looks like it's going to hit central Florida.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay. Go shoot.
It's just
going to
clean
across.
The whole state right off the map.
Which is fucked up because the last one hit Great Bend. Great Bend, but
Big Bend.
Have you heard the conspiracy theories? And I've changed my
conspiracy
adage.
Theory on a hurricane.
Yeah, so I've changed my adage on conspiracy theories.
This show's
because
going
so
off
many,
the rails early today.
Nah,
so what happens when you got a guest?
so many conspiracy theories actually end up having quite a bit of truth to them, right? They may
of
not be spot on, but
we need your wife on the show, George.
Yeah,
she'd
fit right in.
So many conspiracy theories end up coming somewhat truthful. There is a large. Noise out there talking about hurricanes being created by man and manipulated by man.
What?
And their directions.
This is new for me.
And the severity is dialed up or dialed down by man. And and then their direction can be manipulated. And
dude, I'm gonna need more information. So like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Here just recently. Within the last 5 or 10 years, there was an article that came out that it's the 50th anniversary of hurricane seeding, where they're flying planes into hurricanes and doing a whole bunch of things to the hurricane.
I remember all that. Yeah.
To modify them in some way.
Not remember like I was there, but the it was, documentary that they
started in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so now that we've had 3 hurricanes roll through and that one nail Asheville and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Right?
There's enough underlying information, like with the U.S. largest lithium deposit is in the city that got wiped out by the hurricane.
Which city?
Asheville.
Asheville.
And so there was already a lithium mine there. They're trying to expand the lithium mine.
So they're trying to wipe everyone out and off so of it. And
what they're trying to say is they're trying to say it's like the Maui fires. Where all of the big real estate people saw an opportunity to go buy land cheap, because if you didn't have flood insurance, you're going to take pennies on the dollar for your property because you can't afford to rebuild it.
Well, if you think I'm not looking at buying a place in Anna Marie Island after this one goes through.
There you go.
Damn right I am.
And so there's enough
already talked other about
scuttlebutt
it.
With that where...
How?
And then you throw in, you know, BlackRock buying properties, and you throw in a couple of claims of FEMA denying civilians from being able to help. And there's just enough pieces of a recipe for a conspiracy theorist to say, I think something's bigger at play.
Well, Joe Weevil said that the other day. So I called him. He lives in North Carolina between Winston-Salem and Greensboro. Asking him, like, hey, what's the real deal? My sister's in Asheville. They don't know how to get out. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And he said the same thing. He was like, man, they're not even letting motherfuckers in there.
Yeah. So like, have you heard Musk's statements? Elon Musk.
No, but I have so many questions right now. How would they manipulate a hurricane? How are they saying they're doing it?
Nobody knows, but there are these funny radar signatures that are showing up that look like little mini hurricanes inside the hurricane. And then the hurricane makes a predictable movement after that radar signature shows up. And so the conspiracy theorists are thinking that when the man is creating that radar signature in an attempt to alter the course, trajectory, or severity of the hurricane.
I'm calling bullshit.
I mean,
I'm
listening to them. I'm not going to say
not a a flat earth guy too?
No, I'm not saying not. I'm hearing them, right? But I'm listening to them. And because so many conspiracy theories end up having large elements of truth to them, there's got to be something at play there. And maybe it's just it is a freak natural disaster, but here all these companies are going to they're going to capitalize on the disaster, right? I mean, never let a good disaster go to waste, right? That's the government's motto.
That's a telltale sign of humanity.
Yeah.
Like when there's a disaster, vultures come in and make money. That's just how it is.
But I will say, so this what's the name of this hurricane that's coming towards Florida right now?
It's either Milton.
Milton.
Yeah.
Georgia's on point today.
Yesterday... They were showing like stats. It's out over the Gulf, right?
Yeah.
And they were showing stats about wind speed and barometric pressure in the eye.
Yeah, it was 180 mile an hour sustained winds and barometric pressure. It was the
lowest.
It was the lowest recorded one ever. Yeah, it was lower now. It was like two.
Okay. The one that, so keep in mind, I'm not a weather person. They were talking about like millibars.
Yeah.
And it was like 898 millibars or something like that.
I thought it was like 211.
And then this morning it was like 905 millibars, MB. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about they've never seen a hurricane with that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
They've never seen a hurricane that large with that small of an eye, 3.8 miles wide.
Yeah, one that went from 1 to 5 in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And outside of all of that, when is the last time... We like
in 1980, there was one that was stronger,
not strength, a hurricane develop in the Gulf south of Texas and then head east.
It didn't actually develop in the Gulf. They call that Austin doesn't have his mic. It's like mid central Atlantic, which is below the Yucatan Peninsula, and then it went up and over, stopped. And now is going east.
But it wasn't a hurricane.
No, it was a tropical storm.
It wasn't depression. Even a tropical storm. It was like a tropical depression.
Yeah. Well, that's how hurricanes start, right?
Right.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, when have you ever seen a hurricane form? Not all tropical depressions turn into tropical storms. Not all tropical storms turn into hurricanes. When have you ever seen a hurricane form in the Gulf south of Texas and then head east?
Yeah,
they always enter the Gulf between Florida and the Yucatan Peninsula.
But they're usually not hurricanes.
And then head north.
They're usually not hurricanes then. They are usually tropical storms or depressions then, too.
Yeah, but they're always heading north. Like, there is enough differences with this one where I'll listen to the conspiracy theories.
I'm going
to
put George on the spot here. Does your wife get into this?
Has
she brought this up to you?
No.
This is a new thing. I'm going to start messenger on Facebook. Hey,
it's just crime scene documentaries.
Crime scene.
She thinks that everything's set up.
Watch your back, bro. Watch your back.
Yeah. What's she into?
Huh?
What's she into?
Oh, it's political.
Political? Yeah.
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 Man, there's no shortage of stuff to go there,
dude,
for sure.
I like watching documentaries on Netflix, right?
Right.
But half of them now are they try to push you kind of a little bit, just to conspiracy. I shouldn't say they push you. They just make you believe that maybe part of it's that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I can't, if I dive in, it will eat my soul.
Yeah.
It's just there's so much crazy shit going on. You're like, I can't believe all this.
Yep.
Even if it's true, if I take all this in, it will wreck my personal life. I can't commit to it.
Yeah.
So I just quit. I'm out. I can't.
Yeah, your sanity's got to be worth something, right?
It is.
It's that,
well,
you don't want to get too close to
maybe.
It. Maybe. So
I don't know.
One guy I do want to point out with the previous hurricane and now this one, his name is Garrett Mitchell. His internet persona is Cletus McFarland.
Of course his name's fucking Cletus.
he owns the YouTube channel 1320 Video.
You say that like I know what that is. I'll look it up.
Videos.
Quarter mile drag racing, yeah. 1,320 feet. Okay.
Okay, I'm interested. I'm interested now. You've piqued me.
I may be overstating this. He may not own the YouTube channel 1320 Video. He's heavily affiliated with it for sure.
Okay.
It might be somebody else that owns the channel. But he is big on all things America, right? Fast cars, turbos, boost.
Guns, baby.
Nitrous.
Yeah.
Aircraft.
Fuck yeah.
Just all the things that men are rah, 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 about.
Yeah.
He's about, right?
Get it, baby.
he bought Bradenton Speedway.
Okay. In Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah.
He bought the drag strip.
Just south of Tampa Bay.
Okay. And he has a farm next, a 40-acre farm next to it. His YouTube channel's gone bonkers over the last few years. So he's very successful. He recently, for the last few months, he was talking about buying an old drug smuggling helicopter out of Venezuela. And he bought this helicopter that's got all this lineage to drug smuggling and everything else. And he had it restored. And he's been flying it around and posting a lot of videos with that.
Okay.
Well, when the hurricane...
So it's like a nostalgia thing.
It's kind of cool.
Buying a classic car.
Yeah.
Was heritage.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And so when the hurricane destroyed Asheville and all the surrounding areas...
You're talking about Helene.
Yeah.
Okay.
He took all the seats out of his helicopter. This helicopter, its power-to-weight ratio is unprecedented. Even full of people, it can still lift cargo.
Yeah.
And so he took all the seats out of his airplane, except for the pilot and co-pilot seats, and his wife loaded it up with supplies and flew up there. And then they organized drop sites for other people to ship supplies. And he would drop down, pick them up and go find them. And he was rescuing people that were stranded and all this shit.
Awesome.
And
the American spirit, baby.
He ended up teaming up with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch.
NASCAR driver Kyle Busch?
Yes.
Okay.
Also a helicopter pilot, slightly larger, slightly more powerful helicopter. And they were working together to rescue people and everything else. And what's cool is most of the videos they were putting out weren't bragging videos of
they were this is where you
people.
Can help people here, or you can drop food here.
No, they were
these people are okay over here.
If you want to donate, here's the GoFundMe. If you want to facilitate supplies, email this person. If you need rescued, email me. And all of this stuff, right?
Okay.
Anytime he ever made videos about it, they were very humble, summary videos. Most of the videos he made was him talking about how bad he feels that there were people he couldn't get to. Too much overgrown, no place to land, the wind shear was too bad, or the clouds were too thick. And he's like, I'm in communication with somebody that's stranded, and you can't get to him.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Well, he ran out of, he donated several days. And
And fuel's expensive.
Fuel's
expensive as fuck.
Airtime on a helicopter ain't cheap.
No.
Like, outside of the fuel, just the wear and tear. Like, I don't know if you know much about, like, for our listeners that don't know much about aviation.
Yeah.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Those engines only have so many hours in them before they have to get completely torn down and rebuilt.
Yeah, at 100 hours, they got to have this maintenance. At 500 hours, they got to be a tear and down and rebuild.
Can't, it's not like your car where I'm a little overdue for an oil change.
No,
it's like you can't fly until this is done. Like you are grounded.
Yeah.
And
shit will crash.
and that shit's not cheap. Like, to go through an annual inspection on a helicopter or to go through a timed inspection on a helicopter, we're talking $10,000 or $20,000.
They have to log all that shit, and then that shit's got to be inspected before you're allowed to fly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and so, like, a helicopter's
cost... It's like a trucker log, really. Yeah. Same thing.
A helicopter's cost per hour to operate is insane. You're at $400 or $500 an hour, and here he's putting a couple hundred hours on his helicopter,
it's
right?
Pretty close to a Bugatti.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
I'd rather have a Bugatti. I ain't getting no helicopters, man.
Yeah. Helicopters are 10...
Freaks me the fuck out.
They're 10,000 pieces all trying to get away from each other.
Yeah.
That's a helicopter. They're all trying to put distance on each other.
Same thing as my brain. Got it. Yes.
But so he did that. He teamed up with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch got him a place to sleep for a couple of nights, helped him up with like a jet fuel connection to where he could get jet fuel and all of this stuff. And they worked together. Well... Where's this next hurricane heading?
Stop.
Straight to Braden. No, this isn't conspiracy. This is like, it's funny how events work. This dude went out of his way.
Yeah.
Karma's a bitch. His own time, his own money, his own aircraft, his own people.
Negative.
Like he redirected this course of his company to this for a couple of days. Yeah. Right? And now, less than 2 weeks later, he's got an even stronger hurricane heading straight for him. Like, the eye is going, like, they don't know exactly, but I mean, the eye is going to be within 10 miles either way of Bradenton.
It's going to hit Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
I love that area.
What's the guy do? He posts a picture saying, I've got 40 acres and a drag strip and helicopters. If anybody in disaster relief needs a place to store vehicles, a place to park power pole trucks, a place to stage relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Call me.
Do it here.
So, like, here again, a couple of weeks later, he's getting ready to get rocked on his own property now. Before one could argue, like, you choose when to go up there, you choose how much time to donate, and then you leave when you want, right?
Yeah.
So it's like charity on your terms. Well, now it's not on his terms.
It's circle away. Like, the great thing about this country is when there are disasters and chaos and turmoil, like, we circle the wagons pretty good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people will come together.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, it just, it's amazing how selfish and how shitty people can be. And then when disaster hits, how they can just flip the switch and be like, nope.
Yeah.
Complete opposite.
Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing to me. Like, why can't you be, I don't want to be a dick, but it's like, why can't you be that way all the time?
Right.
Like, why can't we circle the wagons and be together all the time?
Right.
Like, what the fuck, man?
And I will say this, like, Garrett is his real name. His internet name's Cletus. He doesn't really take a political stance. One could probably kind of guess his political views.
Yeah, no
but
shit.
But he doesn't ever talk about it or anything else. He just loves America, right?
America.
And he does everything he can to support America and bald eagles and, like, you know, the classic race car thing of, you know, this is 1,200 bald eagles roaring off the line, screaming. You know, whatever. But he posted like two or three days ago when Milton, you know, For a while, as you were planning, George, as you were planning your trip here, it was kind of on hold for a minute because we didn't know where Hurricane Milton was going to go. We didn't know if it was going to go east or north.
Yeah.
And if it was going to go north, you were about to be fucked. And so you were going to have to cancel your trip.
Correct.
And And so about the time that they zeroed in that it was going to go east to Florida, he posted, "Hey, Floridians, looks like we're about ready to get $750.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And obviously he's poking fun at the piss poor support from FEMA, you know? And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if I identify as a Ukrainian transplant to Florida,
right,
do I get $8 billion plus $750?
Sign me up.
Is that how that works? I mean,
George hasn't said anything for 10 minutes.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Do I get that? Do I not get that? Like, how's that work, right?
Yeah.
You've seen a couple of maps where they changed the names of the states to Ukraine on all the hurricane-affected states. Like, here, now we fixed it. Now you'll get the relief you need.
Right.
I don't want to change subjects. But what were you going to say about Elon Musk as what he said with the conspiracy thing? I don't want to lose track of it because you've...
Well, so Musk,
got me thinking about it.
Musk is the same thing. He does everything within his power to help where he sees fit, right? And so all of the damage and no power. Like, have you seen the videos before and after from the satellite images at night?
It's just a dark circle that rolls up and around and right over to fucking West North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking, and so it's enhanced, but it's creepy.
You can see the vast parts of the place swath that don't have power, right?
Swath of bullshit.
And so Musk delivered tons of Starlink internet packages
to those people,
to the area. And he, like, I don't fully understand how Starlink works. Apparently it doesn't need electricity.
Here. Yeah, it's not big here. We don't know how exactly it works.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't need electricity, or if you modify it slightly, it doesn't need electricity. Maybe add a battery pack or something. So Musk basically facilitated free internet for anybody affected by the storm. Let me know and he'll get you Starlink. He'll get you set up on Starlink.
Yeah.
Right. How badass is that? Right.
But it's badass.
Same thing as Gary Mitchell.
And then he gets fucking crushed.
Well,
by
so
all
then
the dipshits.
Musk sends his team up there.
Making too much money.
And he gets a message back from his team and he's like, "Elon, you're not going to believe this. The local authorities, like FEMA, is kicking us out. They're not allowing us to help these people. And all the goods that we've brought here, all the donations and all the goods, FEMA seized them and won't give them back to us, but also won't distribute them to the people." And Musk is like, "Ain't no way." So Musk goes up there himself.
I'd have done the same thing. I'd be like, "What? Give him my chopper, bitch."
Verified it all to be true.
Give him my AR. And we gotta rectify.
He's got, like, I don't wanna misquote him, but he's got some very bold statements against FEMA of, like, "You are actively stopping civilians from trying to help other civilians, and you're prohibiting help to American citizens." Like,
it's fucking insanity to me. It was like, it reminds me of the taking away of freedom, like when Katrina hit. Like, they were going and picking people up, and people that had guns, they were like, "No, we're taking your guns."
Right.
Like, why? I'm worried. I got my kids.
Martial law.
There's a bunch of crazies out here that are looting and stealing and this and that and blah, blah, and doing all these things. They're like, "No, sorry." So you're telling me I can't protect myself, but if something were to happen, I can't call you because there's not enough of you.
Right.
It's like
and that's a weird thing that our government does, where they enact an emergency order, which pretty much removes.
But you don't have the manpower to help.
Right.
What you've caused by creating.
Oh yeah.
Martial. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Martial law removes a lot of your rights as a citizen.
Yeah.
And
good luck coming to my house.
Right.
Fucking good luck.
Good luck. Right.
Good luck.
It would be a lot about, like,
George saw my video yesterday. Good luck.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate of police officers, right? I've never said a bad word.
Me too.
I think there are bad actors in every position. Like, there are bad people that run drive-thrus. There are bad people at the post office. There's bad cops. There's bad plumbers, right?
bad plumbers.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Thanks shooting in your dick when, you know.
But I had my first run-in with a bad cop at the first Chiefs game. And
didn't we already talk about this?
We
That's
did.
Okay. You
we
can
did.
Bring, you can talk about it again.
But a lot of people undervalue how much power a police officer actually has. A police officer is one of the only jobs in the U.S. where you can take away a citizen's rights. The moment they place you under arrest, you now have fewer rights than you did 5 minutes ago. Right?
Well, that's actually not true. They read you your rights.
They read you your Miranda rights.
Yes, but like the only right they take from you is that you are detained.
Yes.
Yes.
Also,
like you
the
still
moment you're detained, your ability to... So you're kind of at a mini trial in front of a cop, right? You're kind of proving your innocence or guilt in front of the cop. Now, a cop's not a court of law, but a cop's going to use that mini trial to determine, do I detain you or not?
Yeah.
And the moment you're detained, you now have no ability to prove your innocence in your like mini trial, right? And I had that bad run in with the cop where he threatened to arrest me for backing out of my parking space at Arrowhead. And I wasn't doing anything illegal. I wasn't doing anything dangerous. And in fact, because there was so much foot traffic behind the car that was impeding my way to back out, like Danielle got out and stood behind the truck sideways with her arms wide open to like block people from walking behind the truck to give me room to back out. Right. Like we were going above and beyond trying to get that. And this cop, you know, the people were still drunk and belligerent and they were smashing on the back of the truck and just kind of like mob mentality kind of stuff.
Yeah, kicking a dent in an EV. Been there.
Yeah. And so...
I mean, I'm just saying, you know?
A couple of cuss words got exchanged from several people, right? The people that were damaging my truck, I rolled down the window and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, my wife's going, knock it the fuck off. And stuff like that. Then I started using my horn to alert people that I was backing up. And the cop heard my horn and they heard the cuss words. And the cops come over. And the cops tried to arrest me for backing out of a parking space. And the cop's like, if you move your truck another foot, you're getting arrested. And same, goes back to your martial law thing.
Yeah.
He's at that moment, he's threatening to remove my rights as a citizen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you and I both know you're not going to arrest me. I've done nothing illegal. And he had already told me if I move the truck another foot, I'm getting arrested. Well, I went ahead and started backing up some more.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's it. Get out of the truck. You're getting arrested. And he walks around to my side and I roll the window down and I look at him and I just kind of shake my head. I'm like, I'm not getting out of the truck. I've done nothing illegal.
Yeah.
And if like, I mean, I could use some money. If you want to arrest me for backing out of a parking space.
Yeah.
Have at it.
Yeah.
And we ended up arguing and talking through it. The moment he threatened to arrest me, both my boys in the back seat pop up on their cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
And they start recording.
Whoop.
And I'm sure the cops saw their little spotlights from their cell phones recording in the back. And
he's like, ah,
and
fuck.
I'm pretty sure he knew he was way in the wrong, right? And trying to abuse his power and everything else. And then
I'd have winked at him.
Well, it evolved into him trying to start a fight at that point. Oh, you're so tough. Why don't you just do this? And oh, if you're so smart, why don't you do that? And it's like, dude, literally your number one thing in training is to de-escalate situations.
Yeah. Well, you're escalating.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah. What are you doing, man?
You're trying to pick a fight with me.
Yeah.
Like get over it. Right. But that's what happens when martial law comes in is you got citizens that may or may not quite know their rights. And here comes martial law. And now all of a sudden you have less rights. Your right to bear arms is now gone.
Yeah.
Right. Your right to protect your property is now different than it was 10 minutes ago.
I'm killing every motherfucker that walks on.
It's tough.
I don't even give a fuck.
It makes it real
I'm
tough.
Serious. Like, that's just social satire. He would. No. Yeah. Fuck you, dude.
Well,
we'll figure it out later.
And all the jokes.
But I'll
about,
be the one standing.
All the like, jokes about FEMA only giving Americans $750 while they're sending billions overseas. So how that like this is not an excuse for FEMA, but I would never stand up for that. But like how government budgets work is if you don't use all the money in your budget, then your budget's smaller next year. Right?
Yeah. And they don't want that.
This is how all budgets work in government. If you're budgeted $100,000 a year for this special grant and you only use 70 grand, you ain't getting 100 next year. You're only getting 70. And so that's part of where wasteful spending is originated is because they have to spend the money in order. Yeah. Because if they spend all the money, then they're able to go back and say, look, we already ran out of all that money. We need even more.
Yeah. And it's bullshit. People are like, well, why does the national debt keep growing? That's why.
Right.
Yeah. And we have to spend this. And if we don't spend it, it's going to go down.
Right.
It's the most asinine thing in politics in this country, like that's ever been. It's insane to me. It's insane to me how much money we spend on bullshit that doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Oh, homeless guy can't get a meal. What do you mean?
Right.
Congressmen are getting Peloton bikes. What?
Right. So
what?
So FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Yeah. I know what FEMA means.
U.S. agency helps protect or helps citizens and emergency personnel prepare for and respond to and recover from disasters. It doesn't say natural disasters. It just says disasters, right? FEMA is a part of the Department of Homeland Security and is responsible for responding to disasters that the president has declared.
He's so excited.
Well,
all right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
What I'm saying is, we went several years without significant natural disasters.
Yeah, like last year there were no major hurricanes.
Right.
It was great.
And several natural disasters.
I know.
Right?
I can hear.
A lot of people are wondering, why is FEMA giving illegal immigrants all this money? And why is FEMA helping so many other people out other than Americans? And
yeah, because the president created the... So he said it was a... what are the words? He didn't say disaster, but the influx of illegals across the border, he quote unquote said it was a disaster.
He declared like a state of emergency, which allows FEMA to now come in, right?
Yeah.
And FEMA, because they want their budgets...
Spend that money,
they're
baby.
They're twisting the rules and finding ways to spend emergency management relief money to keep their budget up.
Yeah.
Well, now...
And now we've had...
They spent all their goddamn money on illegals, and they don't have any money left. And they already said they don't have any money for the Asheville victims.
Oh, I know, man.
Just imagine what's going to happen whenever these Floridians... Like,
did you...
Garrett Mitchell posted Floridians are about ready to get $7.50. You might get $7.50.
Did you...
If that, you might get a bill.
Yeah.
I'm dead fucking serious.
I told my dog.
Welcome to America. Oh, that's a hurricane tax.
Yeah.
You were in the path of a hurricane. You now get taxed.
Did you see the highlights of Cackle Bridges on 60 Minutes?
Oh, God. I've seen clips of it.
When it came to the border, like the question, 60 Minutes is a super liberal left wing. And they were asking her some tough questions.
Yeah.
And Lester, like, he just kept asking.
Yep.
And
she, like, never answered a single one.
Dude.
She just deflected.
Like, how do you not fucking see what's happening? Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand. As a person of rational thought, how does your brain not work?
Right.
How do you not see that they are manipulating the system and giving away tax dollars and not helping actual Americans that have been paying into the system for fucking 25 years.
I don't see,
like,
how
it's
you...
It's insane to me.
I don't see how you can't... I mean, when all the dust settles, if Kamala loses...
If
Kamala loses, I'm willing to bet you're going to be able to attribute a massive part of that to how the administration's handled this hurricane stuff. Like, the moment it's like more financially beneficial for me to be an illegal immigrant, jump the border, swim the river, and make it into the U.S., I make more money doing that than surviving a hurricane as a U.S. taxpaying citizen. I mean, that's crazy.
I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but people are so dumb.
Yeah.
I love my sister. I will let her stay with me. She live with me. She will vote for Kamala. In November. I mean, it's just like, how do you not...
Some people hate mean tweets that bad.
Oh my God, it's so awful. I mean, just catch a dickhead. Yeah, you know what? I podcast with a dickhead every fucking week. You know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's only
week one, bro. Calm down.
Is there? God damn it!
I tell you what, I could go for 3 mean tweets and $1.25 a gallon gas right now.
You're fucking A, Cotton. Yeah.
So...
It's insane to me, the ignorance and the stupidity of people.
Yeah. Yeah, ironically, I just heard of another story. This is a school The school took it amongst themselves to make it their own policy that they will register anybody that will be 18 by, I think the cutoff's October 4th. If you'll be 18 by October 4th, the school will register you to vote. And they're going to go ahead and do you the favor and register you as a Democrat. And
how fucking illegal is that?
Well,
is it?
A girl that goes to the school was texting her mom. Ironically, she's a black girl, texting her mom saying, "Hey, mom, I'm in the school's office right now. They're making me register to vote." And the mom's like, "Excuse me?" And she's like, "Yeah, they're not even giving me a choice. I told them I don't want to, or I'll do it later.
That mom's going to sue the fuck out of them.
And this school said, "You don't have a choice." And all of this is like recorded. The mom goes up to the school
and raises eight kinds of bullshit.
And apparently the school got into a political conversation and they started talking border policy. And because it's a minority school, the school told the daughter, if Trump gets in, that will be like life threateningly damaging to the black population. Schools are telling kids this while they're registering you to vote as a Democrat without your permission.
The fear manipulation in this country is insane.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little last week. I literally get 5 emails a day from just like random Democrat campaigns that are like, "Oh, if we don't win, the world's going to end." That's basically what they say. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, how can you look yourself in the mirror and try to scare people to death to vote for you? Like, how do you have, I mean, they obviously have no moral compass.
Right.
Right? Like, it's dumb.
Let's just be real. We've survived 8 years of Obama. If you're a hard Republican, you didn't die with 8 years of Obama. Your race wasn't in jeopardy with 8 years of Obama. Your finances weren't in jeopardy with 8 years of Obama.
No,
like,
but my 401k may be double.
Right.
If that motherfucker wasn't in there.
Right. I mean, like, there's definite impact, but it's
significant impact. Like, you want to say that there's not significant impact on your day to day or your business or whatever, but like in the long term, which is what we're all going for, right? Is long term.
Yeah.
Like in the long term. Yeah, man, it is.
Well,
we're talking big money.
I mean, I get all that, but there's plenty of other stuff that'll impact that. Like for example, two massive hurricanes hitting the U.S. in the same season, every American's insurance rates are going to go skyrocketing because hurricanes hit the East Coast. My insurance rates here in Missouri will skyrocket because my insurance company had to pay out billions of dollars in losses on the East Coast.
Yeah, they need to be. It's amazing to me that they haven't switched to a state-by-state insurance program.
Try.
Like, I know they try, but like, my insurance went up fucking $1,200 last year. The year before that was $800.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck?
Right. And so I guess what I'm saying is there's plenty outside of the political realm. There's plenty of things that are out of our control that have significant long-term impacts, right? We double our insurance rates. That's a significant long-term impact. I mean, I already spend like $11,000 a month on insurance. Between health insurance and business insurance, I spend like 11 grand a month. And so, you know, we double that to 22 grand. Like, that's a significant long-term impact. That's not political. That's just life. And so much like I can't say my business failed here in Missouri because my insurance rates doubled because two hurricanes hit the East Coast last year, 2 years ago, whatever. Because it'll take a while, right? Your insurance rates aren't going to double next week. It's going to be tail end of next year or even 2026 before they go up.
The fuck they won't.
Well, shit.
They figured it out now. They figured it out now. Don't give me that.
I got another funny thing about insurance here in a second.
They're starting to look at policies that when they renew, whenever their renewal date is, they take all of the information. We talk about this all the time. Information is instantaneous now. Mm-hmm. They literally take all that information and they're like, "Nope, it's right now."
Yeah.
They're trying to get it minute by minute.
Yeah.
It's going up.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is how dumb does a person sound to blame their success or misfortune on a president? Like, like, I get that the president, you know, 401k, long-term impact, everything else, but we make decisions every day that have a much stronger impact on our own life, regardless of, you know, my 401k could crash and go down to zero, and it's not going to change my day-to-day life. Is it going to change my future planning? Is it going to change my ability to retire? Yes. But my day-to-day income, my monthly income, my daily sales, everything else is all driven by me and my discipline and my planning and my level of urgency that I place on any one thing, right? And so I always kind of laugh whenever people take that line of like, we're doomed if the other person gets in. It's like, really? You haven't been doomed when the other person got in for the last 50 years. Like, no. there were people that hated Reagan. They still survived. There were people that hated Nixon. Still survived. There were people that hated Kennedy so bad they killed him. Still survived. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird when you get people that are that extreme.
To play devil's advocate, like, that kind of extreme is on both sides. Like, you can't say, well, it doesn't affect me long term and that not be extreme.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
I've just
never been like, I tend to like Trump, but I've never been one to say like, my life is better because of Trump. No, my life's better because of my daily decisions.
It is, but your long-term health and wealth,
financial health,
and being
able
to, that's what I meant, and being able to take care of your kids and your grandkids and stuff, they are impacted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they just, like, you can't pick and choose. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everything as you move forward is impacted by the decisions you make today.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is,
you know what I mean? Like, I can work super hard today and put everything I have in today. I can control this. I can do this. Everything's great. But if, how do I say this? If my tax burden is changed 2 weeks after I have put all that effort and ingenuity into it, and it costs me down the road later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, some of that's just game of life, though.
Some of it's game of life. And
like, let me give you another example of situations out of everyone's control that you just got to feel, you got to figure out and overcome. We had a plumber leave our organization recently. I called our insurance company to let them know he's no longer with us, so we don't need to insure him as a driver. He's not part of our work comp insurance anymore. You know, getting him off our insurance.
Yeah. Insurance goes up.
Our
guaranteed.
Insurance rates went up.
Yeah.
Because we removed a driver off of our policy.
Yeah.
Here's the funny explanation for it. The more drivers you have, the more risk you have. Okay. This is the insurance company's statement. The more drivers, the more miles you're driving, therefore the more risk. Okay. When we lose a driver, the insurance company's statement says, now they take the opportunity to say, well, you're going to drive the same number of miles, but with fewer people. So now each individual driver is driving more, and that's a risk. And also now your ratio of drivers to vehicles in your fleet is changed, and we view that as a risk. And so, in other words, you add a driver, price goes up. You take a driver away, price goes up. They win both ways. It's asinine.
I don't know how many times I have to say insurance is the second biggest scam in the fucking country besides taxes. I can only say it so many fucking times.
It's just asinine. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, you'll never see me saying, well, our business went under because I lost a driver and our insurance rates went up. You know, or our business went under because a hurricane hit 17 states away and my insurance rates went up.
No, but my point is, at what point is it not practical to keep climbing the hill? Like, as the hill gets steeper, as they take more, as it becomes more difficult and more difficult and more difficult, at what point does it no longer make sense?
Yeah.
So if you don't battle all of those things at ground level, at presidential level, at whatever level, like, eventually you run the fuck out of gas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it just...
No, I'm not saying don't fight it. And I'm not saying don't do...
Like, it gets to a point where it can no longer maintain itself.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is like,
I can't
fight the battles that you're the expert in fighting.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but if you run out of if you run out of energy, look, if there's a new battle every week and I can only fight 10, when it gets to 30, what do?
Right.
You know what I mean? You cannot maintain that level of energy and that level of overcome, quote unquote, forever.
Right.
It's not infinity.
Right.
At one point, you have spent so much money on taxes or insurance or whatever that you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's impossible to overcome.
Yeah.
If they just keep piling that shit on, man.
I think the challenge a lot of people have.
I can't say, oh, well, no matter what, I'm just going to keep my head down and keep grinding, because eventually that fucking grind don't do it.
Right.
Like, it just don't do it.
I think the battle a lot of people have is they try to pick every fight, but they also try to pick fights that they're not experts in and they don't have enough credibility in. You get Keyboard Carl, who doesn't have any special training.
Laser Shoot Larry.
Yeah. Doesn't have any special training in any certain thing. He doesn't have a track record of seeing into the future and picking outcomes that turn out to be true. He doesn't have a lot of correct assumptions that are later found out to be true or anything like that. That's not the guy. Like, that guy has no credibility when he's like, oh, Kamala's a dipshit. It's like, dude, you're wrong on a lot of shit. Like, nobody's going to trust that. You know what I mean? But when you get a guy like Elon, who obviously is a brilliant businessman who knows how to move massive events forward at a rate significantly faster than what the government can do. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally SpaceX is going to go reclaim those astronauts that are lost in space. The government can't do it. SpaceX is going to go get the astronauts. Right.
That's another insane thing. To me.
I know.
His real life Tony Stark.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, if he fucking makes an Iron Man suit, fuck off.
But what I'm saying is, when you have a guy with that kind of credibility and that kind of track record to see the bigger picture and to move that many people and to make that many right decisions that positively impact that many people's lives, those are the guys you got to pay attention to. I don't have a leg to stand on to go to the internet and scream Trump or Kamala or conspiracy theorists, this or that. I'm just a fucking plumber from Missouri, right? But when you have the guy that literally provides internet to all rural areas talking about how he can't provide internet to the hurricane ravaged area because FEMA is standing in the way, that's a fucking problem. You know what I mean?
Well, man, it's almost like you're making my point.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
But like, what I'm saying is, like,
those people need to, like,
Elon needs to run that fight, right?
Yeah, but if Elon doesn't have us backing him up, he can't win that fight.
Well, yeah, but how do you back up Elon, right? The couch potato Carl or whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be a dick here, but you kill couch potato Carl. I mean, you've got to, like, eventually, and that's kind of what I meant by, you know, running that uphill battle where everything has to come to a head. Like, everything does come to a head.
Yeah.
Where is that going to be at?
Nobody will ever know. And it'll never actually, like, we think it's going to be ahead, but it won't. Like, remember,
this from the guy who I asked, hey, do you think there'll be a civil war? And you were like, yeah, in the next 5 years. That's coming to a head.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, well,
you're already at some mild level of civil war. And it's not the North versus the South. It's the right versus the left.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're in a mild form of it now. And I've always said, too, that wars will never be fought the same as what we're used to. Wars will be fought by biologics. Wars will be fought by technology.
It'll be technology.
Wars will be fought by interfering with, like wars are fought like with inflation, right?
I don't know. You shoot a bunch of politicians in the head, like, you know.
Yeah. You said it. That was David.
I was talking about they were trying to kill Trump. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Not me shooting motherfuckers.
Right.
Wink, wink.
But yeah, it just kind of boils down to, we still have a personal duty to do the things that we know we have to do every day to result in our success, while also keeping that in the peripherals. And when the time is right and when the elections come, we have to make our voice heard. But you're probably doing yourself or your party or your cause a disservice by getting super loud and super vocal about something that you don't have the credibility to make a stance on. You know, if I, a guy from Missouri, a plumber from Missouri, were standing out there in Tennessee trying to help out, and I got booted off the job, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm a nobody. And I don't have any track record to say they should listen to me, right? But when Elon goes out there and he gets booted, that's a fucking problem.
I mean, I just hate the media so much. Like, I haven't even heard about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course they're going to keep it quiet.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I...
So that lady I was telling, the mom that I was telling you about, where her daughter, which by the way, her daughter was 17. They registered to vote at 17. Now, her birth date, she was going to be 18 before the cutoff.
Yeah.
But they still registered us.
I registered at 18.
Yeah, the
or
school
17
registered
and then voted.
Her to vote at 18 or at 17. That mom said, I'm going to the news. I'm going to the media. And as soon as, like, that's all, like, she recorded chewing the school office out on her phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's dumb. Because the news wants 17 and 18-year-olds to register to vote. Like, the news is a leftist organization. So the news ain't going to carry your story.
No.
Because they want that, right? So the news has the opportunity to display or bury whatever story they want. The only way you're going to hear about that is through non-news channels. So, yeah, Twitter, X, all those, right?
Is there such a thing as a non-news channel now?
I don't know, but like, you know, so what's crazy, we have these things called fact checkers, right? So apparently—
I think you mean liars.
Apparently there's people out there that know the actual facts of what actually happened without any bias. And it's kind of crazy because, like, we should just call that, like, we should do that, run that play, and we should call it the news.
Correct.
Yeah. But we don't do that.
We don't do that.
No. You got to run the news and then have the fact checkers.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
They used to call it journalism.
So I do want to change pages here a little
bit. Yeah. We've only been talking for an hour and 4 minutes about nothing.
Not nothing. Important stuff.
Important life changing, altering events.
We got a guy sitting in front of us who has a little bit of a personal brand that he's building called Bet on Yourself. And it ties right into what we were saying that you are the only person standing in the way between where you are now and the success you want. It all funnels back to you. Can't blame your piss poor results on a president, on a spouse, on a situation. We got to fight our way through it. We got to figure it a way out.
Right.
And
figure it a way out. I like that.
So George is in Tradewinds. And one of the neat things I always look forward every day, George has and I got to hand it to you. Because you do this with like it's the most like literal efficient post ever. You have an inspirational post that is like 10 words or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're short
every morning.
They're fucking short.
And they drive like straight to the point. They're badass, but it's not like you don't go into a story and then here's the lesson or like my posts tend to like have a story and a lesson and they play on emotion and all this shit.
Yeah. I've keyed out of yours by
and
the way.
They're
like
long.
They're long. I'm like,
and
I ain't got fucking time for this.
And here George is in like 13 words and it's like, damn, that's powerful. I'm heart reacting.
They're just good.
I'm saving that.
Yeah. They're just good.
I'm pretty close to probably 365 days of it, you know, cause like now I'm grabbing them from memories.
Yeah.
You know, from last year.
Yep.
So if I have a memory of it, I just repost that one. If not, I find a new one, you know, whether I heard it, came up with it, read it in a book, podcast,
yep,
wherever I'm getting it from, you know, and I have like a notes page full of quotes and I even have people sending me quotes here. You could use this one. Dad.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So
it's kind of
cool.
Funny
when you're reaching people and they're sending you stuff like, hey, this would be good. I think I know you reach a lot of people. This would be great. Like,
so that plays right back into what we were saying earlier. You have established yourself as a very efficient source of daily motivation. I'm not going to say inspiration. I mean, inspiration.
Either
like,
way.
Yeah. Like,
they're synonyms.
I kind of feel like we all owe it to ourselves to inspire ourselves. So we can get motivation from external sources. But if you need external sources to inspire you, like it's one, like I can be inspired by an external thing, but I don't demand inspiration from external sources. You know what I mean? Like, it's not your job to inspire me.
No.
Now you could do something that inspires me.
Yes.
But I'm not putting that.
You're not
responsibility.
Relying that.
Yeah.
You're not relying on me for that.
And so, yeah, you're kind of the go-to person for daily motivation, right? And so, yeah, there are people out there, your couch potato Carl or your keyboard warrior Carl or whatever I called him earlier. if he's all doom and gloom, But then he has this random motivational thought. It'd be out of place for him to say that.
Right.
So the right way to handle that, go send it to the guy that can do something with it, right? I do that all the time. I see guy like, so Andrew Powell, we were talking about him before the show. I've seen some kick-ass, I'm not the meme guy, right? Andrew is. Yeah. I see some kick-ass memes, and I could totally go share that, and I'd probably get 20 likes. Right. But I know that if I send Andrew that meme you should share this, it'll get 400 likes. And when your goal is not to take credit but make a big impact, then that's where that comes from.
Right.
Right? Your keyboard warrior Carl, if he's trying to make a big impact, he knows that he can make a bigger impact if he sends that positive message to you, since he's kind of known for the negative stuff, right? And so, like, we come across those memes, I send it to Andrew because I know it'll get more mileage.
Do something with this.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I sent him one here recently. I don't know what the hell happened at this house. It was a house where the garage sat like 6 feet above the road, and the driveway only had like 2 feet of incline.
I couldn't understand what that was about.
And then it had a 4-foot retaining wall in front of the garage door.
Like, did the city come down on them?
I don't know.
Like, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what the fuck?
I just sent it to him with no words, and I'm like, work your magic. And he created two memes out of it.
Nice.
And one of them was like, you know, when you're looking for that pad for your garage band to really take off, because the garage is like up on a big platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But yeah, knowing the right source to deliver that stuff through is huge. And you're the king of like taking all that on your own. Like you're not relying on Tradewinds to inspire you every day. If anything, you're inspiring Tradewinds every day. You're not relying on outside sources to inspire you. Like that all comes from within.
It was crazy is like, on a good day, I might have 20 likes on that,
right?
You know, but that's not why I do it. I do it for the person that doesn't like it. Like, actually, I brought my van to my mechanic. You know, my mechanic's one of my Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
I bring a van to him. You know, he'll do some work on it. And I'm turning around to leave, you know, tell him bye. And he said, hey, I want to talk to you real quick. He's like, I just want to let you know. He's like, your motivational post every day. He's like, it's really touching me right now. He's like, my mom's going through cancer, and he's like, it's just putting it in the right place at the right time for him, you know?
And he's probably never once liked
it. He's never
post.
Liked it.
Yeah.
He's one of them people.
Yeah. Lurker.
And he's not the only person, you know?
There's hundreds. People are just roll by.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say
that are rolling their eyes at it, but who cares? It's not about them.
I would say it's probably a 3-to-1. People that you've impacted versus reactions that you see.
Correct.
Right? So if you only get 30 reactions, you probably... Now, I mean, if you have professional mode on your social medias, they'll tell you how many impressions you had and all that stuff. And who really knows what an impression is versus anything else. But I'm going to say it's probably like if you get 30 likes on a photo, you probably had an impact on 90 to 100 people.
Right.
It's probably more than that. Like I will literally... Like I'll be rolling through stuff. This happens to me all the time. Janine will say something and I just... Like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I've just missed it, and it's gone by.
Yep.
You know, constantly. Or, I like that, or I hit the next one, or I get distracted, and I just miss it. I bet it's more like 20%.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Like, 20% of the people will put it on there, and then 80 people saw it, thought, oh, that's great, and then didn't react to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, George, we never really did. Like, obviously, we talked about you're from New Orleans. What's your company name?
Diaz Plumbing.
Diaz Plumbing.
Diaz Plumbing.
How many employees?
Myself.
One.
Boom, bitch.
Like 1.5, right? Because your wife's
The wife answers the phone.
Answers the phones, but is off the record.
Correct.
Like, well, not off the record, but not on the payroll, right?
She's getting paid.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call that paid. That's a cost of business.
I'm gonna call her right after this and be like, hey, look, George, this is what George said. Yeah. We gotta know if we can air this or not.
and what else? You got two daughters, three daughters?
I got two daughters and a son.
And a son. Okay.
Yeah.
Daughters are big into cheerleading or dance.
Well, my oldest, she was a softball. Played softball, was a sports kid, and then my younger daughter, Addison, she's into dance.
Yeah.
And then Jack is sports.
Sport, like all
and a little bit of the Roblox, so.
Oh, yeah. Love that
Roblox.
Not, right?
Oh, my gosh. Love that fucking it doesn't make any sense to me. I can't figure it out. I'll be watching over at Layla's shoulder, and I'm like, I don't even know what fucking, what is this?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's their thing. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's their thing. I just leave them to it.
Yeah.
So busy, father of three, husband. Mm-hmm. Still managing to pull off the the one man plumbing shop.
Yeah.
And doing pretty well.
Correct.
It's pretty cool. So like different parts of the areas, different parts of the nations do things differently.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They have a lot of slab homes there. They don't have basements. We have like almost every home here has a basement. Not every home, but almost every home has a basement. And like when we go to a house that needs new drain lines and a slab home,
we cut the fucking concrete out.
We saw cut the concrete floor and just dig down and fix it and patch the concrete. Yeah. And the customer gets all new flooring.
This motherfucker's tunneling under
the
house.
He's tunneling under houses. And then like using clevis hangers hanging from all thread from their concrete floor and just hanging new drain lines.
I don't under, literally the first, was it the first, within the first 3 months of us knowing each other, like you're on your own, he posted, he was like, hey, for all of you that don't know what a tunnel job is.
It was right after the event, because I was talking to a bunch of the guys about it, and they're like, what the fuck are you
talking
about?
They all looked at him like he was insane, and I was one of the, I was like, what? And then he posted, and it's him sitting in a,
I got one going on right now, I'm going to post a video as soon as I get back.
He's sitting in a fucking hole under this basement next to it. I think it was on this side. There's like a toilet drain coming down with a street nine. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like,
I thought that was normal. So to hear from
you're crazy as shit.
Around the country, that's different.
It's insanity.
Like, your pipe bursting, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. I don't understand. Like, I don't know if they would let us. So here we have to have footings on a slab.
Yeah.
3 foot footings.
Yeah, because we freeze.
So down there, they don't have to have.
We have footings.
Footings, but they're probably only 18, right?
It might be 2 foot.
Are they 2 foot?
I'm not. Engineer,
so you got to go down under the footing, and then come back up.
Well, the plumbing usually comes out under the footing.
Yeah,
but to get in, but for you to get under there,
and then do your magic.
What holds the slab up once you pull all that shit out?
We have pilings, piers.
So you go in there and pier it after you.
No, the house is built on piers.
Built on piers. We live in swampland.
Yeah, the soil's unstable.
What?
Yeah. So you really don't need the soil under the house because the piers
it's all
are what's,
piers.
Yeah.
So the dirt's not doing shit?
My neighbor. So what's funny, our
mind
house is
blown.
Built,
mind fucking blown.
It might be like 40-foot piers, I want to say.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, multiple.
Yeah.
I have a detached garage that has piers.
How? Like,
which is
like, are they
insane.
On? Are they on 10-foot span, 5-foot span?
Whatever the engineer specs.
I'm not asking you, Mitch. I'm asking Mr. Diaz.
If I had to guess, by 8 foot.
So it's like an 8-foot square.
Yeah. So like my house is built on solid bedrock, right?
And so is mine.
My neighbor's house right next door. That bedrock underground, there is a shelf, a ledge.
Yeah.
My neighbor's house is built on straight fill. He's 50 feet away. And he's got 27 piers under his house that go 40 feet deep.
Yeah.
And my house has not a single pier under it whatsoever.
So if you go across the lake by us, them houses are just built on foundation.
Built on dirt.
Dirt.
Yeah. So yeah, the soil's better on the other side. What's that lake called?
Pontchartrain.
Pontchartrain. I always wanted to call it Poncheron.
It's Ponchatron.
Ponchatron. Sounds like a sounds like the latest robot on Transformers.
I just
Ponchatron.
He sent that photo.
Yeah.
Like it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to tunnel underneath there?
My guys can probably, I'd say 2 days of straight digging.
Is it?
He has a crew that does it. He's not doing it.
Mitch, if you
taking
and I,
the credit for it,
if you and I had to tunnel under a house here that's in clay, how long do you think it would take us?
I bet my shoulder would blow out before we made it across.
That's what I'm fucking saying, man. like the dirt must just be so much, like it's
so
sand, dirt mix.
As soon as he said tunnels, I'm thinking, well, I'm you're down in the Gulf of Mexico, right? And so I'm thinking like, that's like a Miami thing. That's like the drug smugglers used to dig tunnels they kept those crews busy during the off season, the drug off season by tunneling under houses and fixing plumbing.
Just thought of a new venture for us to get into.
Well, if you go to North Kansas City, you can go into like Little Italy and you can find tunnels from house to house. I've been in houses where there's tunnels connecting houses to the neighbors, and there are the old mob houses from Kansas City.
Well, those were for booze running.
Booze and money and drugs from New York to Vegas, and Kansas City was a big jump off point for that.
Yeah. So when one house got raided, they just went
to
the
other
house.
One. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty weird. And then they'd watch their house getting raided from next door.
Yeah.
And be like,
and they'd be like,
idiots.
Hey, what do you guys want to do? Let's load up the drugs and go make some money.
Yeah, let's leave out the back door of this house while they're raiding that one. So,
tunneling jobs. Insane.
There is one. So we're running out of time. We only got like a minute or two left, but there's one more thing that I do want to hit. You do an interesting, you charge service charges.
Yes.
And you do an interesting thing. Your light just went out behind you.
I saw that. That's okay. Austin can fucking deal with it in post.
Probably a timer, which means my light's probably getting ready to go out, or it got unplugged. But you do an interesting thing with your service charges. I want you to tell people what you do with your trip charges.
So if we get a phone call, you know, just an organic phone call, people come in and, we charge them $79 right then and there to get on the schedule.
Yeah.
Card over the phone, bitch.
Card over the phone.
Yes.
Pay money to get on my schedule.
We talked about this yesterday. You were talking to a bunch of old people at the game. We were actually doing some business,
so,
talking.
For the plumbers that listen to this show, idea. I was talking to the owner of Pryor at Arrowhead. And if you're a plumber, that's like when that guy walks by, you're going to say hi.
Yeah.
So ironically, we're doing about $7,000 in work in this place.
Can we get
week.
Back to George,
so,
please?
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, a lot of companies charge service charges. Some companies don't. Service charges are kind of a regional thing. But yet you are not only charging a service charge, you're swiping their card over the phone.
Over the phone.
And
so I bet your cancellation rate is almost nothing.
Correct.
Because they've already paid for the service call.
Yeah. And he's charging a minimum on top of that once they go.
Yeah. Now he does apply the service charge towards the work.
Of course.
But still, that's
pretty
badass.
It shows the commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely shows the commitment. They put them on a schedule. They're committing to spending money with us. And, you know, we're obviously committed to providing the service.
Right.
So.
That's awesome.
You don't get dumped off.
It's been working out.
How long has it been, George? How long you been doing that?
I'd say a good 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah. However long Ashley's been answering the phone, I said we have to implement that.
I love it. The moment she answered the phone, you're like, you collect trip charges now.
Dude, I'm going to be honest.
It would have been too much for me.
Yeah.
I've never met her, but she handles George, right?
Oh, I bet she's a saint.
I bet she's like, where's my fucking money?
Yeah,
every day.
She's like, no, you. No.
She's really cheap. If I pay her in Starbucks, she's usually good. So.
She's like, no, we're taking your credit card right now. They're probably like, you're what? She's like, no, what's your credit card number, mother?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I collected 14 trip charges today.
You know what's really awesome is we don't keep that information when I go to the job and do
you
the work.
Get it their card again.
We have to get it again. But everybody always says, well, Ashley has it already.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I said, I need to take it. Or I said, I can have Ashley call you real quick.
You know? Yeah. Do you say, no, I don't trust her with your credit card information?
No,
I mean, we're the same way. We don't like, we keep it secured enough to refund money. We can go back on the card they used, but I can't charge the card again.
Yeah.
So they can always do a refund, but you can never add charges without their card being present again.
Yeah. And Stripe's the same way. Like we can go through and like refund their money, but even if I go to look, like I can't see their number, their date. I can't see shit.
Yep.
So, I don't know if I can refund on mine.
Yeah, you can. Probably some credit
card
law.
No, you can't. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to refund shit.
Yeah.
Keep that money.
I'm gonna end on one more thing here. So you've been a member of Tradewinds since like Tradewinds existed. You've been a listener of this show since
listener number one.
George is the first guy that ever sent in an email.
Yep.
That said, hey, I'm worried about this, and this.
No.
Can I make it?
When I started listening, I wasn't even a business owner yet.
No,
yeah.
I know.
I was a W-2 employee.
Yeah, you were talking. Yeah. You're like, hey, I want to start a business. Can I do this, and this?
Yep.
Yeah, you can, man.
Yeah. So,
he's the first one, I think, that ever started their company from just listening to the podcast or right after.
Yeah. So what would you say?
My main man.
Tradewinds has helped you with in business?
Most definitely is the network of all of us combined.
Yeah.
Because we got
some smart motherfuckers in that group.
Yes.
I shouldn't be cussing. We got some smart people in that group.
There's some smart.
No, there's a lot of motherfuckers in that group, and some of those guys are smart. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's a true statement, dude.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like we have a good relationship outside of Tradewinds, just through the void, through Facebook groups, you know, things like that.
Right.
And then Tradewinds on top of that, it's invaluable to me with the network of guys combined. You know, I love it.
I love when I see the guys do, like, you'll see one guy's, hey, I want to do 75 hard. Who wants to do it with me? Right. And then they'd be like,
and that's how I did it. That's how I got accomplished. Me and Tristan.
Yeah.
Shout out Tristan.
First off, his name is now T-Rizzle.
T-Rizzle.
Yeah. T-Rizzle. He jumped on our Zoom call, and his Zoom ID said T-Rizzle on it. We did not let him live it down.
He was like, dude, seriously, I didn't know that, like, my phone number, like, name would be on there. Like, he was, I was like, dude, don't, like, from now on, your name known as T-Rizzle. He's like, ah, fuck.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome. That's a, and just to, like, compound on George's point, outside of me and Mitch, the guys that are in the group that lift each other up and they get ideas from each other and roll with those ideas and make money from those ideas and have guys that are in their same situation to bounce ideas off of and get affirmation, greatest part of the group.
Yeah.
It's the fucking greatest part of the group.
Well, and what's crazy is
every time, as
a newer business owner, it's,
all day, every day,
it's you're always amazed at the little things that will just paralyze you. And I don't know if it's insecurities. I don't know if it's just
level. It's lack of knowledge and experience.
Well, and we put certain levels of importance on certain things or whatever. And so there are, like, I even have, like, we all have this, but there are things where it's like, there's, everyone has their own taboos, their own little things that they don't want to talk about. They're afraid to talk about.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And so, like, some of it's maybe contractual stuff. Some of it's maybe employee pay. Some of it's, how do I handle this or that? And some of these guys might be terrified to ask even a single question about this thing because they don't want to show their ignorance and everything else. And the cool thing is, inside of Tradewinds, because we operate with core values, like, let your guard down, ask the question that you think is a dumb question, because I guarantee you there's 10 other people
in there.
Yeah,
you ain't the only dude.
That are right. Like, oh, I'm glad you asked that because I was too afraid to ask that.
Yeah.
And what's silly is, like, when you stand back and look at it, like, nobody should be afraid to ask anything. Like, the only dumb question is the question that you're asking twice because you didn't pay attention the first time. Other than that, ask
that
the fucking question, you know? Like, if you're asking, like, how do I set up a fuel account so my guys can get fuel? You may feel dumb asking that question because you're in a group of other business owners that have already done that, but they had to ask the question at some time.
Yeah, ask the question, because you can avoid a mistake because of somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's literally the purpose of Tradewinds, is, like, fail faster. Like we learn through failure, and so the faster you fail, the faster you become successful.
Well, if you're friends with 15 guys that have failed in 4 different areas, it's like the compounding interest on those just saves you time.
Yeah.
It saves you a ton of freaking time.
And I'm always incredibly transparent and very timely with my transparency, like with shit that's going on in our company, because I want guys to fail as fast and as incredibly possible. You know, if I go through some bullshit in my company, I'm usually making a post about it inside of Tradewinds, or I'll talk about it at one of our group calls or anything. Yeah. And some of the guys may have gone through it before. Some guys may have not. But, like, as fast as I failed in this, I want you to fail in this. Because if we all fail together, then we all level up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I appreciate that transparency for sure.
Yeah. Most people do.
I tell people all the time, like, look, dude, I'm a fuck up. I fucked up here.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Well,
like, this is like, learn.
It's so funny. I have a lot of acquaintances or even friends in the industry that aren't in Tradewinds that don't get some of that info. It's kind of privy information sometimes inside of Tradewinds. And so they'll hit me up and they'll be like, oh my gosh, your business seems like it's crushing it and killing it. And oh my, you're doing amazing. And
let me tell you what really happened.
And I'm like, oh, if you only knew. If you were in Tradewinds, you'd be like, oh man, Mitch is dealing with some shit right now.
Or sometimes, like, I can't.
Being one man isn't so bad.
I can't believe this motherfucker's even making it.
He owns a business.
This guy is a jackass.
I mean, shit happens.
That's part of it, man.
It happens for sure.
That's part of the struggle, though.
Yeah.
Like, that is part of the struggle. I want to say one thing. I love George. George, thanks for coming up, buddy.
We
appreciate you doing the show with us.
Thank y'all.
Yeah.
Love you, man.
I do have a gift for y'all.
A gift for me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Give it here.
Is it here?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I love it. I love gifts.
Dave gets all sappy. Do you ready to make Dave cry? He gets all
sappy.
Nah,
that ain't it. Dave ain't going to cry lately. He's dead inside.
I didn't want to have to give these to y'all. I had other ones to give to y'all.
What you got?
Uh-oh.
But based on the outcome of the game, I said I'm going to give you these.
Oh. Let me see. Let me see. Oh, these are dope, dude.
Oh, look at that.
Did you have black and gold ones?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
little Kansas City
Diaz Chiefs, plumbing. Diaz plumbing made, logo. He came prepared with two sets.
Yeah.
The, you know, when we talk about guys being prepared and like, dude, that's like another level.
That's bad.
Like knowing, hey, both of these things can happen in my business. Yeah. I've got to be prepared for both.
Now same I know thing. Why you had to go by your hotel before the podcast.
Yeah, it makes definitely sense. That.
Can you see them on the camera, Austin?
That is badass.
Maybe be able to take a photo out of that. Yeah, good. Those are fucking badass.
And for those
enjoy that,
I love those that the Chiefs head at the top. That's a D. That's great. That's fucking awesome.
For those that can't make the connection, you've modeled your logo off of a similar pattern to the Dodgers.
Correct. That's a Dodgers scoreboard in the background.
Yeah, and that's the Dodgers D.
Yes.
So you went with the Dodgers font, I guess. Is that what you call that font?
Yeah.
I mean,
font's probably the right word.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is cool. That is.
His logo's great.
Oh, yeah.
His logo's great. I still wear my Green Diaz shirt.
Appreciate that.
That you signed me. I wear it all the time.
Yeah.
I wear it all the time. I try not to because he signed it. And so, like that thing gets woolite in the sink. Like, it don't hit the. It don't hit the washing machine, you know.
What's funny is we have some Tradewinds members and we share shirts, you know, shirts around each other. I'm wearing a Christian Guardian plumbing shirt.
Yeah, this is
right?
a Christian Weeks shirt.
So
Christian Weeks, I need a shirt.
Dude, these are soft as shit. Dude,
yeah,
they're
those
nice.
Are those are good.
They're
shirts.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'll wear them around, and a lot of the times I wear them to the gym.
Yeah.
And what's funny is everyone knows me as Smedley Plumbing around here locally, right? And so when they see me, they'll see a shirt and they'll be like, "Did you change your company name?"
Dude,
like, they'll see me in a company name of a shirt that's not. My company, you know, so they got
both
questions.
Motherfuckers waiting for you to fail. They're like, "Well, he went to go work another W-2 job.
He must have went under and had to go get a job.
What a loser.
Oh, my God.
I tell people all the time, because they'll ask me, they'll be like, "Plumbing pilots." Like, I had my plumbing pilots hoodie on yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, plumbing pilots, what the fuck's that? I'm like, his name's Joe Mullen.
Yep.
He's one of the members of Tradewinds. He's a bad motherfucker. Sent me this sweatshirt, and I wear it proud.
Yeah.
Like, I'll wear my my Dandy Plumbing.
Yep.
Is that a Grand Theft Auto shirt? I'm it's not a Grand Theft Auto shirt.
Slick.
I wear them all the time, man.
He's got a cool logo, too.
I can rotate them. I bet I got enough shirts.
You can go a week without wearing a real shirt.
At least a week. At least, probably a week and a half.
Yeah.
You don't get all the same ones I get.
No, I know.
I'll just kidding.
I don't kiss as much ass as you do.
It's S as much D, not kiss as much ass.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, we need to be wrapping up here. So, guys, if you want to be a guest on the show and you're a trades business owner, then all you have to do is become a member of Tradewinds and then make a visit to Kansas City, and we can make that happen. So for our Tradewinds members that listen to this show, set up a visit to KC and we can get you on the show too.
Maybe a Mitchell take you to a Chiefs game.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
So,
I don't know. You got to be pretty.
Appreciate that.
You got to be pretty special to get to go to a game.
We got a lot of Bengals fans, and we already smoked them. So
Vita.
Oh man,
Steely. Yeah. I think Steely was butthurt for a little while.
So that's all right. Frosted tips. Joe Burrow can try to get his way out of that one.
You know what? Let's not. We're on a high point. Let's not bring the show down.
There you go.
Let's stay up high.
All right. So, guys, if this show brought you value, made you think about things in a different way, do us a favor and give the show a review. Share the show with somebody that you might think wants to hear it or needs to hear it. Send it to your boss. If you're a boss, send it to your employees, whatever the case may be. And until next week, we will see you later.
We love you guys.